It's been a good week to be Terry McLaurin. Got the extension. Got out on the practice field. I am drinking in every bit of, like, Terry content that this social team has just been desperately waiting to post. Terry and Debo standing next to each other. Just wait. That first video of Terry catching a pass from Jaden that they post on social media is going to hit like crack. I'm going to be all over it. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. So I ran some numbers, Max. I was curious about this. I know a lot of people are interested in this as well. Just NFL contract breakdowns, I find them to be fascinating, especially with this particular scenario. Buddy Baker leaked the original contract, 3 years, up to $96 million. And as soon as Schefter said up to $96 million, you're like, all right, there's some stuff missing here. So we got the details. I still think it's a good deal for Terry. He got what he wanted. I'm happy for him. How much money is he actually going to make, though, in 2025? Or how much money could he actually make in 2025? And the answer is a lot. A lot. So he gets a $30 million signing bonus that he gets now. So when he signed, you get the $30 million, or like it takes a couple days. But effectively, for the sake of conversation, you sign, you get the $30 million. So immediately, $30 million in 2025. Because of that, his projected $18 to $19 million salary for this year, it does take a little bit of a hit in terms of base salary, and the base salary goes to $1.75 million. This is relatively basic across the NFL. When you have a massive signing bonus, they take that other money and they convert it elsewhere in your contract, and they give you what is the veteran minimum, which is $1.75 million for a guy in Terry's position that has been in the league as long as he has been in the league. So he has a base salary of $1.75 million. He then gets a game check for every game that he appears in for $850,000. Now, if you take 850 and you multiply that by 17, you get around just shy of $14.5 million. The official number is $14.45 million. So you get $30 million. You get $1.75 million in base salary, and then the earning potential of about $14.45 million. And then the incentives come in. The incentives, when we heard about this contract, were the things that I was most excited to see. So incentives in the NFL, it's really fun in like the final week of the season. You know, we had Zach Ertz in particular last year, where if he catches seven passes and he gets 70 yards in game number 16, he gets an additional $250,000, and he did that. And then in the final week of the season, he had another opportunity. If he catches four passes and a touchdown for 40 yards, he gets another $250,000, and then he did that, right? So Zach Ertz made himself like $2 million or $1.5 million over like the final 3 weeks of the season just based off of incentives. There are a lot of incentives that are available for players, right? So sometimes they are a lot smaller, sometimes they are a lot larger. The way that Washington designed the incentives for Terry, I mean, you want to talk about when people say this was a home run for Adam Peters, this was a home run for Adam Peters. It was also kind of petty, but it was like petty in the best way. So there's an incentive for Terry McLaurin. If he catches 83 passes, he gets an additional $300,000. If he catches 83 passes and they get to the postseason, that $300,000 becomes $600,000. So the incentive is to play well and to make the postseason. Totally cool with that. If he records 1,097 yards, he gets another $300,000. And then with the playoffs in there, that jumps to $600,000. So 83 passes and the playoffs could get you $600,000. 1,097 yards and the playoffs could get you an additional $600,000. If he does both, he gets $1.2 million. Then there's the touchdown. Then there's the touchdown incentive. He gets $300,000 if he catches 10 touchdowns this year. If you get to the playoffs and he has 10 touchdowns, it is again $600,000. So if you catch 83 passes for 1,097 yards and 10 touchdowns, Terry could be making about $1.8 million. There's one final escalator. If he is a first or second team All-Pro, which he was last year, you get an additional $500,000. So if Terry catches 83 passes for 1,097 yards and 10 touchdowns, which theoretically, if you do all of that, you more likely than not are going to be on the All-Pro team in some way, shape, or form. If he does all of those things, that's about $2.3 million that he could make, which gives Terry, with the $2.3 million in incentives, because we're going to assume that he hits all of these and Washington makes the playoffs, with the per-game bonus, roster bonus for 17 games, adding up to about $14.45 million per year, the base salary of $1.75 million, and then the $30 million signing bonus, the earning potential for Terry McLaurin in 2025 is $48.5 million. Give me a double one. $48.5 million. That's a great contract for Terry. And what I like the most about the incentives is that if you, everything that we know about Terry as the person, right? And all of us know his story. Not highly recruited, wanted to go to Ohio State, met with Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer said, you need to have better hands. You need to catch the ball better. And he went, I forget what the number is, but it was like 1,000. He caught 1,000 balls per week for the next like 6, 8, 9 weeks, whatever it was. Saw Urban Meyer again, said, Coach, my hands have gotten better. And Urban Meyer said that. He's like, yeah, your hands have gotten better. We want you to come to Ohio State. He is a guy that is a workhorse, and he wants to be driven to something. He's very goal-oriented. I can relate. I'm goal-oriented. I like it. If I set myself a goal, I want to achieve that goal. Terry seems to be similar. Sets himself a goal, wants to achieve that goal. He could make $48.5 million. Here's why I said that Adam Peters is a little petty with some of these incentives. 83 catches, 1,096 yards, 10 touchdowns. You're probably like, oh, those are pretty easy numbers to hit. He could definitely hit that. You want to know what Terry's stat line was in 2024? 82 catches, 1,096 yards.
Outperform, and we will pay you.
They are saying exactly. Hey, you're getting a little older. Our analytics says that, you know, there's a little bit of a drop-off in production when you get to a certain age. You got to be better. If you want to make the most of your contract, you got to be just a little bit better. Now, he had 13 touchdowns last year, so he would have gotten the extra $600,000, and he would have gotten the extra $500,000 for being an All-Pro. So if he had these incentives last year, maybe he did. I don't know what his contract was last year. Obviously, we were not as concerned, and there was nothing at the end of the season that was remotely close to those incentives because a bigger deal would have been made about it like it was for Zach Ertz. But if he had these incentives last year, he would have made an extra $1.1 million. I think this is a perfect way, though, to format a contract. For a guy that is approaching age 30, that has performed relatively consistently, so he has hit some of these numbers before. He caught 83 passes one time in his career. That was in 2020. That was a long time ago. He has gone over 1,097 yards two times in his career. He did 2020, did 2022. And then last year was the only time he's gone over 10 touchdowns in his career. The elephant in the room is obviously Jaden Daniels is now your quarterback versus some of these teams. It was like Ryan Fitzpatrick for a little bit, and then it was Taylor Heineke, and then it was Carson Wentz, and then it was just like a who's who of guys, and I didn't want to see any of them. I think Case Keenum was his quarterback for part of it in like 2020, and then partially, God rest his soul, Dwayne Haskins, and then it was that weird year where it was like Keenum and Haskins, and then the one guy that's somehow still playing that Ron Rivera loved, Kyle Allen. He's like still on a roster, I think, somewhere, which is just insane to me. Like, it was just literally a revolving door of quarterbacks. So having Jaden, having an offensive coordinator that is competent for multiple years in a row is certainly something that is beneficial to it as well. But then you also like, hey, Debo is here. He's going to get a lot more targets his direction. And the simple fact is, in Terry's career, he has not ever been a guy similar to like a Jamar Chase, Malik Nabers, where you're getting 150 targets per year. Like Amon-Ra St. Brown will get targeted 20 times in games. Terry is not that. I don't know if that's a balance between, you know, him just not, they don't see him as that kind of guy versus the offense dictates the ball going elsewhere. But 83 catches for a receiver that is a number one wide receiver should be a relatively achievable feat. 1,097 yards, if you catch 83 passes, should be a relatively easy and achievable feat for a guy that has the talent level of Terry. What I want to see in specific in 2025 is that. I want to see Terry perform like a legitimate number one wide receiver where Jaden is looking to constantly get him the football. I don't want any games like Atlanta where he had one catch for 5 yards. He was bracketed the entire time. I don't want to see any games like the first matchup against Tampa Bay. Now, that was early in the career of Jaden Daniels, early in the season. Chemistry might not have been there yet. You know, the game's still, I'm sure, moving at lightning speed to Jaden Daniels. Not all on Terry, but he didn't perform exactly well. He didn't have a lot of catches in that game against Tampa. That first game against New York, Terry didn't have a lot of catches. I don't want to see any more games like that. You got your contract. They put some really good incentives in it, and we know that you're capable. Like, that has always been like this kind of like gut punch. I know that he's capable of being a guy to be targeted, the likes of like a Malik Nabers. And I use him as an example, one, because he played with Jaden at LSU, but because in that first game against New York, Malik Nabers had like 12 catches, and Terry didn't, right? That first game against New York, Terry caught 6 passes for 22 yards, whereas Malik Nabers was just shining all over the place while being thrown to by Daniel Jones. Nabers had 10 catches for 127 yards and a touchdown. He looked like a sensational wide receiver in week number 2. I know that Terry is capable of these performances. Now that you have gotten the contract, it's time to go out there and showcase that you can do what all of these other wide receivers can do. I want an elite game and multiple elite games from Terry McLaurin. What do I consider to be an elite game? I want him over 150 and 2 tutties. He was so close to doing that against New Orleans. It felt like he could have gone for 4 touchdowns and 200 yards against New Orleans. I want Terry to have an elite game, like a legitimately elite game in 2025. He has not had a game where he went for 150 and 2 touchdowns in his career. I want that in 2025. And I know he's capable of doing that in 2025. Maybe not week 1 against the Giants just because of the nature of it, you know, the ramp-up period. I think he'll be fine. I still anticipate he's going to play something like 80, 85% of snaps. Maybe not 95%, but I anticipate that he's going to play 80, 85% of snaps in that matchup against New York. I just want him to go out there and have a legitimately elite performance multiple times. And if he does that, these numbers are going to be very easily achievable for him, assuming that Washington has the success that all of us are anticipating Washington to have. Did any of these numbers jump off the page at you, Max, or jump off the screen at you when I read these out? I mean, $48 million is a pretty nice penny to be earning.
I mean, yeah, it's the number that always jumps out to me is the workout bonus, just after the guaranteed money kind of falls off. And it's like, if you're working out with us, we're going to pay you $500,000. And if you make the roster, $850,000. And then we're going to do it every single game after that.
Every single game.
So 2027 is definitely a year that interests me, but that's also going to be the year that we gotta pony up. So
yeah, that Jaden Daniels contract is going to be
yeah,
that's going to be massive. But the nice thing is that when that contract does come up and when Terry's inevitable contract ends up running out, I don't believe that it is going to be as much of a display for a potential fourth extension. Or what they did to Deebo Samuel this year, which is we're going to guarantee you X amount of salary. It won't be all of it, but hey, you're at, like, it's 33 years old, 32, 33 years old. If you can get $15 million guaranteed in the NFL, you're going to take $15 million guaranteed in the NFL. Yep. Like, you're going to take that one, not going to look back. Hey, thank you. Yep, I will take that. Very gracious of you. Let's rock and roll, especially if if we can get just way ahead of ourselves in 2027, like, you're going to be hoping this is a perennial championship contender, maybe. Fingers crossed, toes crossed, prayer said. You've already won a championship at that point. Like, you're going to be one. You're going to want to stay here. So I do think that's still in the realm. But the workout bonus is the most, like, hilarious thing to me ever. And this is how I know that NFL players are not like regular humans the way that you and I are. If all you had to do...
go to the gym?
Was go to the gym. Buddy, if you were going to pay me $500,000 to go to the gym, I'd go to the gym. I actually pay to go to the gym right now. So if you had to pay me $500,000, I will go to the gym. If you had to pay me $500,000 to live where you live the majority of the year, like Terry is, he is plugged into the community here. lives around here, obviously, goes to yoga. We saw that. Plugged into the local church as best I know. I kind of know the pastor when he goes to church. I know one of his sons. So he's plugged into that area. Like he is plugging in and you know, putting down roots in D.C., which is awesome in the Northern Virginia area. It's awesome. You pay me $500,000 just to be home. I gotta make the 10 to 15 minute drive, whatever it is, to facility. Because like all these guys live relatively close to facility. Like your commute is what, 45 minutes to work?
Yeah, depending on traffic.
Depending on traffic. You know where there's not a lot of traffic? Ashburn.
Yeah.
I mean, Waxpool sucks sometimes. Gloucester might suck sometimes. Loudoun County Parkway now just goes the whole way. It's not that bad. It's two lanes the whole way. There was a point in time where it was like one lane. That sucked. I remember those days. Maybe some of you do as well. I mean, he is, you got to pay me $500K to show up. I'll show up. Very, very easy. I will be there. I'm going to give you some numbers in regarding to Terry. So I gave you his contract and what he could earn. What does Vegas think he's going to do? And how does that impact the way that we are going to look at Terry in 2025? Plus, you'll hear some comments that he made yesterday in his press availability. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dente sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. We're going to look at Terry props in a second, but Max, I have brought great shame on the name of the show and great shame on my family. I say my family because my father is a mathematician.
Oh.
He has a math degree.
That's
I tough. Royally screw these numbers up. I read it as $850,000 in per-game bonus. It is $850,000 in game checks, meaning the game. It is $850,000 total that he could make. A $50,000 per game check, which means the $14.45 million that I suggested Terry could be making in per game bonuses is off by about $13.6 million.
Hey, the wording in per game roster bonuses,
it would made
lead
it
you to believe.
I just, you know, I read it that way. I read it as if it was a per game. So
I did too.
All right, let me redo some math here. So if you were listening to the last segment, I'm going to hit you with the little Men in Black eraser. You ain't see it. You ain't hear it. $30 million in signing bonus, $1.75 million in base salary, $850,000 in game bonuses, which is $50,000 per game, and then the potential of $600,000 with 83 catches in the postseason, 1,097 yards in the postseason would get him another $600,000. 10 touchdowns in the postseason, get him $600,000, and then $500,000 for being a second-team All-Pro, meaning Terry could make about $34.9 million. So I was off by a lot, about $13 million.
Give or take, just a little. It's a rounding error.
It's a rounding error. You know what? I always taught to round up, and I just read it wrong. So Terry could make $34 million. This is a sign, I think. God is telling me, stop pocket watching.
Like you just, know, that we're at that point.
Like I gotta kill, you know, 20 minutes, God. What do you want me to do here? So as you know, I'm a gambling man, and I am intrigued with the with wagers.
It's a big week.
Terry McClure, it's a big week. I got some gambling plays tonight in college football for you at the end of the show. No smell test. I don't know. I still don't know if I'm allowed to do the smell test, although I might ask Kevin for his smell test.
I was
going to
say, you might.
So I can deliver them. I'll just be the messenger.
Might be worth it.
Tomorrow. Vegas has props out for Terry. This is from BetMGM. His receiving yards. Now, these did not change when he signed his contract. So Vegas always anticipated he was going to play in 2025 in some capacity. His receiving yards are listed at 980 and a hook, which is 0.5. 980 total. His receiving touchdowns are 6.5. Vegas does not think that Terry is going to hit some of his incentives. Now, it is very important, if you listen to Kevin, you kind of understand how gambling works, but I know that there are people that maybe do not who may work on this channel. This is what Vegas puts into get money. They do not think, hey, he's going to have 981 yards.
It's what we call a rat.
They put this number out there in the hopes that they can draw money from both sides. So they have people see this number and say, this number is way too short. I'm going to throw $1,000, which do not throw $1,000 on a Terry McLaurin prop unless you like really got
don't
it like that.
Don't put $1,000 on any season-long prop. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, you had to be feeling good if you... If you throw in $1,000, you got to take Max and I out to dinner at some point. I mean,
please.
What's up? But they put this number so they draw you in. And because Terry had 13 touchdowns last year, Vegas is saying that the touchdowns from year to year are very, very frugal. And they're saying he's not going to go over 6.5. So you're going to take that one back and you're going to say, like, I do look at that 6.5 touchdown number and I say, well, that one seems a lot lower than the 980. Because with 980, you know, with Debo involved in the fray, I think Terry might lose a few touches. But in the red zone, he was a legitimate threat. And I don't think that's going to change. It feels like all the time people think of a red zone threat. And maybe this is because we kind of suffered through the Jay Gruden fade in the red zone era. But you think of a red zone threat as a guy that has to be like 6'5". You just got to create separation. And Terry does a good job in the red zone creating separation, but then also making the contested catches. That is where he thrives. That's been the whole talk throughout the entirety of this Terry extension, right? Is that he is so unbelievable at the contested catches. So that touchdown number does seem a little low to me at 6.5. I would stay away from the receiving yards. Now, Terry has been a 1,000-yard receiving maniac for his career. I would look much more in the direction of the touchdowns at 6.5 than I would the receiving yards at 980. There are some other props. Terry, just to have 1,000 yards, you can get at minus 110. It is weird that those are so similar. His over 980 is like minus 110, but you can also just bet minus 110 to have 1,000 yards. Vegas is kind of weird sometimes with these props. You can also bet Terry to have 1,250 at plus 500. So if you really believe in Terry, you think he's going to ball out this year? Plus 500 for a season-long future bet or season-long prop bet is a pretty nice number to have. I would look into something like that. All right, so Terry did speak yesterday. I want to play some of what he said for you. I liked a lot of what Terry got into yesterday. I thought he was honest at times. We are going to play my favorite cut from it, which I just thought was hilarious. But I want to start with just his open. You know, there's been so much made about the winning and the losing of the contract. Who won the contract? Who lost the contract? Did Adam Peters win? Did Terry win? I think at the end of the day, everybody won because he's here and your number one wide receiver is here. However, they started the conversation yesterday asking Terry McLaurin, did you get what you wanted out of this contract? Here's what he said.
It was a long process and, you know, there's no playbook or script on how to handle this situation. And so, you know, you start out one way and then you hope that it ends the way it's ended. And so I'm thankful for this process to just be able to be back on the field and just the conversations that, you know, Buddy and AP had and myself and AP and me and DQ. So it's definitely been a process, but I'm really happy to be back out here with my teammates and just very thankful to be a part of this organization and a part of this fan base that's supported me through all of this. So it's exciting.
So that's Terry on getting what he wanted out of the contract. He continued. Somebody asked him about, does he feel like he was fairly compensated as a top wide receiver? And this was Terry's response to that.
I do, and it gives me the ability to continue to stay somewhere where I love, but also continue to achieve things that allows me to play at a high level and, you know, prove that I'm worth what I signed for. And above all that, it just allows me to continue to play that game that I love in a place that I love with teammates that I care deeply about. And, you know, I just thank God for this journey that I've been through. It's much more than a contract. I grew a lot during this process personally and in my faith, having my wife by my side as well. Just we grew during this season of pruning and sometimes uncertainty. And my faith just grew stronger. And I had confidence that God's will would be done and I would have an opportunity to continue to play at a high level, and that's the opportunity that I have. And I know I have a lot of elite ball ahead of me. I know the work that I put in. God's blessed me to have an unbelievable amount of health and strength up until this point. And anybody in that building will tell you how much I take care of my body. So I'm going to continue to do those things at a high level and continue to try to be everything that I can for this organization and my teammates and in myself. So nobody expects more than Terry McLaurin than me. And, you know, I try to put that work in each and every day to be in that situation so I can be successful.
So that's Terry McLaurin yesterday on whether or not he was fairly compensated as a top wide receiver. One thing I do think it is important to acknowledge that while his contract is not like the 32 AAV that everybody thought it was initially, or shall I say certain people thought it was initially, this is one of the largest third contracts that has been signed as a wide receiver in NFL history, and it is, to my knowledge, the largest contract that a 30-year-old or a soon-to-be 30-year-old wide receiver has ever signed in NFL history. So while he is not compensated to the likes of a Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase just in total contract value, for a guy that is signing a third deal, which, as we talked about earlier, does not happen often. Washington, over the last, this isn't just like a Ron thing, because Ron Rivera kind of screwed this organization in terms of depth, but over the last 20 years, the team has not really signed a lot of third contracts. You know, Tress is playing on contract number four, but he's a punter. Ryan Kerrigan, who my first thought was, he definitely got a third contract here. He did not get a third contract here. That was in an era in the NFL, Ryan Kerrigan, Trent Williams as well, where they were signing five-year extensions. Whereas Terry's extension after the rookie deal was a three-year extension, giving him an opportunity to then get another, a third extension. At a certain point, a bunch of NFL players decided, we're going to stop with the 5 and 6 year extensions, where we're kind of getting screwed on the back end of these deals. We're going to shorten the deals and allow us to maximize our talent before we get viewed as just kind of old, washed up, whatever the GMs and the front offices are going to look at us like. But Washington hasn't signed a lot of third contracts with guys over the last 20 years. So Terry is very much in a new territory for this team and for the wide receiver position across the NFL. It obviously was not all sunshine and rainbows, as all of you know. There were some low points in this. Here's Terry on some of those low points and thinking that a deal potentially would not get done throughout this process.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you get to a point where you're, you know, you're here for a little over, I kind of lost track of the days, but you're here for a little while and you're not out on the practice field and, you know, things may not progress what you would like for them to progress. And again, like, I don't think there's, everybody's situation is unique and different. So I never tried to look at this person's situation as like, this is how I handle it. I just tried to stay true to myself, but also have the open conversations that were afforded to me, both with my agent Buddy. Buddy was having great conversations with Adam. You know, Adam had gave me the opportunity to have multiple conversations with him, DQ as well. So it was just a matter of getting on the same page. I appreciate them hearing me out and being able to express what my worth is and what I bring to this to the table, on the field and off the field as a teammate and all those things. And you know, in the end, they feel the exact same way. And so to be in a position where you feel like you can advocate for yourself, you know, be educated throughout this process, was something that I took day by day to try to help get to this result. So there was definitely some unknowns. Obviously, you know, the trade request was, you know, something that I did. And, you know, full transparency, I told the front office this as well. Like, that wasn't something that I was doing for just like a leverage point or just to do it or let me call some hoopla. Like, I try to be as intentional as possible. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. Are there some things that, you know, you think about that you maybe want to handle different or do better? Sure, that's any situation. But the most important part is the communication that was very important throughout this process from start to finish. You know, the way it ended was better than it started. So that's what it's all about. And there's a deal in place now that keeps me here that I'm extremely happy about. You know, the front office and the coaching staff is extremely happy about. My teammates are happy about. This fan base is happy about. So that's a win-win when you look at a deal, to be honest. So everybody wins, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm just really looking forward to building, continue to build my career here and hopefully leave a lasting legacy as a player, but as a teammate, as a person, and have a chance to win championships and just continue to pour into this community and this fan base, because I do love this place with all my heart. But there's also a business component, and I can never lose sight of that. There was a lot of things that also allowed me to keep perspective. And like I said, my teammates were great with that. My wife, my family, my friends. So you got to try to keep perspective in some of these tough situations. And there were some times where I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? But I was never going to jump to one end one extreme to the other. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be here or I'm going to not. You know, like I just really prayed every single day that the Lord ordained my steps and continue to speak to me. And I knew I would end up where I was supposed to be. So I'm definitely here and I'm happy about it.
That was the only time Terry addressed the trade request. Nobody asked him another question about that, which there was other stuff to get into. It's fine. But what he said at the beginning of that clip, and that was a long answer, it was about 3 minutes. What he said at the beginning of that clip was humbling. It was humbling because at points, various points, it did kind of feel like we were at times in the room. You know, more numbers started to come out from people that we determine as reputable sources. And as those numbers come out, as rumors are being flung around, as reports, as some of Terry's boys are tweeting things, like there were a lot of things that made us feel like at times we had one foot in the room, maybe one foot out of the room. At no point through this entire process, and this is why this is humbling, because we don't know anything. At no point in this entire process did anybody report that these two being Adam and Terry, were in constant communication. Terry just casually revealing that at the beginning of that. I got distracted by the trade and the trade request, but just casually revealing, Adam and I had a lot of conversations through this process. We saw the one where Terry was in his hoodie at the Bergen Eagle scrimmage, and you know the lip-reading police came out, tried to decipher, what is he saying, what is he not saying? No one at any point said, yeah, these guys are constantly communicating inside the building. And that's a really positive thing because that means nothing is coming out of the building.
Yeah, I mean, I think AP said it in his little joint presser with Dan Quinn. They were talking about like the multiple opportunities that, I mean, they gave Terry to kind of come in and have one-on-ones with Adam. And like you said, Terry mentioned it in his presser as well. So that just internal communication always kind of being on is so important when it comes to these kinds of negotiations and just making players feel valued and comfortable in just in general.
It made it at a point, because this thing had gone so long, and it did. Like, I don't think anyone, they even said this, no one expected it to go this long. But because it went so long, there becomes like this manufactured animosity because there is no deal. And you're seeing Adam Peters, and we as media, like he was out there for a majority of the time, Adam Peters was, just walking out there. He watches practice on the field a lot of the times, not every day, but a lot of the times. So he's constantly out there, and we're constantly seeing him, but we never really get to hear from him. And he doesn't talk to a lot of media, right? And he certainly isn't leaking things. And we saw Terry at times, but never got to talk to Terry. Outside of the Eastern Motors thing, which he was asked one question about that. I still think that maybe he should not have done that. But we heard from him at the Eastern Motors. Then we heard a 53-second walk and talk when he first came out. No one at any point said these guys are constantly talking about it and it's all good. Like they're working it out. All the talks are respectful. I think in tune, we kind of saw like Adam talking with Terry at one point. And because of the stuff that was going on in Dallas, where Jerry Jones is trying to negotiate around an agent, which is a massive no-no. The NFL CBA says you cannot do that. It's like wickedly a problem. And for whatever reason, Jerry just kind of does it willingly and doesn't get punished. But we started to think, oh, Buddy Baker's the problem. I hope Adam and Terry are just knocking this thing out and Buddy Baker's out of it. These guys were all talking regularly, and we just had no idea. That, to like, I, as a sicko that wants to be in these behind closed doors, Max, this was fascinating.
It is. And it's like we kind of also assumed that they were talking up until the Eastern Motors thing when Terry came out and was like, there's been no communication in months, guys. We got to get something going. So I don't really know like how much communication was going on, especially because like we're post deal now. So there could have been a little bit of stretching of the truth. But I mean, we still have no idea, and nobody does, especially in local media, which is, they're the most plugged in, man.
I cannot stress this enough, and this is not just because Max and I work in the local media.
We know nothing.
We know nothing, but local media always knows more.
Yep.
Because the local media is significantly more plugged in than the national media. Like Schefter broke the news because Buddy Baker is communicating with Schefter and your Jordan Schultzes and those sorts of guys. But in terms of like the ins and outs and the daily happenings of the franchise, the local media knows best, and nobody knew that they were in constant communication. Now, you mentioned Eastern Motors. Adam Peters was asked about Eastern Motors. I want you to hear what he said when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dentonay sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.
All right, here's what's happening on this Thursday, August 28th. The Commanders. It was announced this morning they are bringing in former Jet and Michigan Wolverine running back Donovan Edwards, and they are also signing cornerback Darius Rush to the practice squad. The Nats, they fall to the Yankees in a horrendous game by a score of 11-2. Kate Cavalli balloons his ERA from 2.82 to 5.11 after only 2 1/3 innings. The Nats were unable to get the train back on the tracks with a terrible 77-pitch third inning that enabled the Yankees to score 9 runs. The Nats, they are off tonight and will make the trip home. They take on the Tampa Bay Rays at home tomorrow night. And tonight, the Mystics are taking on the New York Liberty right here on the Team 980. Tip-off at 7 p.m. Be sure to stay tuned following Rick Doc Walker for Burgundy and Gold Today. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1, and you can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Dan Quinn is scheduled to speak to the media in about 15 minutes. You will hear that presser in its entirety right here on the show. All Commanders Talk on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I listened to both Adam Peters and Terry McLaurin yesterday. There were two things that stood out to me as just downright hilarious. I don't believe they intended to be hilarious, but they were hilarious. I'm going to start with Adam Peters. I texted Mitch Tischler, who asked this question after thanking him, because I was listening to this entire press conference and I was like, somebody has to ask him about Eastern Motors.
Please,
somebody has to ask him about that press availability that Terry did when he said, we're not talking, but he said, we're not talking like 4 times in 30 minutes. Here's what Adam Peters said when he was asked about Terry's press availability following that Eastern Motors shoot in July.
You know, I didn't really watch that, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I heard that he was frustrated. And you know, I wanted to, you know, I heard that loud and clear just by the reaction and everything. So, just, it was like, okay, let's make sure we fix this and make sure we get this thing right. And, you know, it shows you how much he cared. You know, how much he cared about this team, how much he cared about being here. And so I think in its own way, I'm sure that helped us get this thing across the finish line.
Adam Peters is hilariously unbothered. This was a massive talking point for like 2 weeks. I mean, we examined the Eastern Motors press conference from every single angle possible, and then we made up new angles to examine it from. All for Adam Peters to be like, I ain't watch it. It wasn't worth my time. I'm good. I didn't watch it.
You guys bled into another show? Nah, I don't care.
He's like, I don't know what he was doing, but this does kind of lead back to the point that I tried to make in favor of the team, is that they probably had a planned period where there was not going to be negotiating.
Probably, yeah.
They were like, hey, we're probably not going to talk a lot here. You know, around that time, it was 4th of July, and just generally after, you know, mandatory minicamp, you take in mandatory OTAs, you take a little bit of time, you just allow people to go elsewhere. And I distinctly remember
summer, I'm trying to decompress,
when they made the video package for Art Monk and they had videos of Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, and it looked like they weren't in Ashburn. I think I saw palm trees in one of those videos. And I'm like, okay, everyone is kind of unplugged right now from the wear of football. So I never really had a problem with them not speaking for months, but I just felt like that was the final thing that Adam Peters said in his press availability, and it's the final time we will hear from him for probably a little bit. I don't know when we'll hear from him again. Maybe at the end of the season, or if something massive happens.
Trade deadline,
between
maybe.
Now and then, like maybe a trade deadline, maybe. You're not going to hear a lot from him. And the final thing he said was, I didn't watch that Eastern Motors thing. That 30-minute thing that all you guys were so worried about.
Nah.
I didn't watch that.
I was on the beach, bro.
He is a fascinating character.
He is.
Like getting in the head of Adam Peters, I don't know that I will ever get there. It's funny, too, because I'm pretty sure him and Dan Quinn went to the AC/DC concert.
Hell yeah,
that
brother.
Took place at Northwest. I almost called it FedEx. At Northwest in Landover, I distinctly remember seeing Adam Peters and Dan Quinn posted up for AC/DC, and that's like right around the time where Terry's like, we're not talking. And they're just like,
we're having a great time.
Bro, I'm thunderstruck. Like, what are you talking about? I'm on the highway to hell right now. Like, I gotta rock out to AC/DC.
We're shaking all night long, baby.
I just found that hilarious that he is so unbothered. He did not watch that. I heard. Yes, somebody mentioned that he was a little frustrated in that thing, and it almost like feels moderately disrespectful.
A little bit.
That Terry does the thing to kind of like send a message, and they're just like, nope, we're good. Nah. Doesn't bother us at all.
Why would I?
Now, Terry said something funny, too. This was funny as to not get the team in massive amounts of trouble. Here's Terry when being asked about his ankle and what is going on with his ankle and the pup list.
Yeah, I'll just keep that between me and the front office and the training staff. But I will say, like, they did a great job of taking care of me, making sure I was right, you know, being back on this field with this ramp-up process. And, you know, I'm just going to continue to build from there, and just happy to be back on the grass. So it was a great ramp-up process for me to be back out here. I feel great when I'm running out there. And so the strength staff, the training staff, and, you know, DQ and everybody was supportive of me and allowing me to get back, you know, to this level where I'm able to hit the ground running. That's what it's all about.
The ankle's fine. He'll be good. He's good for week one. You got to ramp up. Just the ramp up is very much for your hamstrings, the muscles inside of, you know, the groin, making sure maybe the calf is okay. The ramp up does not seem to be for the ankle in any capacity. It's just making sure your knees are good, you know, getting used to cutting,
you know,
running
that soft
routes.
Tissue, right?
Yeah, all the soft tissue stuff, rollouts, getting the cold tub, maybe get the massage gun. Yeah, whatever you do just to make sure everything is good there. This is what the ramp up is for. He got an $87 million that could potentially be a $96 million Band-Aid. The ankle's fine. He's good. We knew that. We're not going to play dumb here. I think everybody was fully aware when the contract was going to be signed, he was going to be able to get on the practice field on the grass, and he was going to be good to go.
You know what I find hilarious, Denton? Yesterday was his first day on the grass, at practice.
On the grass.
And a video, I don't remember, I think it was Nikki or John or one of the beat guys and gals, posted a video of just Terry going through, like, they were doing individual work for wide receivers, and they were clearly doing a jog through of this drill. And Terry just kind of, he didn't even run, he just went 1-2, quick little stop, turn. They were like, man, he's not taking any chance. Like, guys, it's a jog through, it is a Wednesday, a week and a half before the first game. He is not going to be going all out immediately after he signs this deal. What are you talking about?
But you know what's crazy is that there was another pass that I think Scott Abraham put this out there, where then you did see him run up the sideline, and you're like, all right, he's fine.
He's fine.
He's fine. Like, everything is precautionary. Terry's going to be good to go. And now for Terry, like, you can look at 2025. We spent so much on the contract stuff, right? Let's be a little bit more optimistic. You can look at 2025 as a really, really strong opportunity for Terry to cement what most of us already know, but to cement that he is one of the greats to ever play in this organization's history. You know, you look at guys that have come before him, Santana Moss, Ricky Sanders, whose touchdown record he broke last year, all of the guys that played in championship eras, obviously Art Monk, they just retired his jersey, Gary Clark. Like, there have been a lot of really good wide receivers that have come before Terry McLaurin. A lot of those really good wide receivers also
Santana
won championships. Moss. Yeah, Santana Moss. A lot of those wide receivers also won championships. They put up really big numbers, and they won championships. Putting up big numbers is great. Santana Moss put up good numbers when he was here in Washington under very similar circumstances to Terry, in that there was not a real consistency at quarterback, and the only consistency that there was wasn't spectacular. I think the quarterback that he caught the most passes from, this being Santana Moss, I believe was Jason Campbell.
Ugh.
I thought Jason Campbell could have been really good with a good offensive line. As most of you know, the offensive line those years kind of sucked. Coaching wasn't great either, because some of that was Jim Zorn. Joe Gibbs coaching was good. Jim Zorn coaching was not. Terry is now through that period. You got a quarterback. You got the opportunity to win a lot of games. You're going to start to view him differently as they continually become a team that is making deep runs into the postseason, and then hopefully, eventually, winning a championship with him being a key part to winning a championship. Because right now, before you can even get into discussions about the best wide receiver in franchise history, which is Art Monk, but before you can even really supplement or put Terry in those discussions with any sort of legitimacy, there's always the carrot above the head of, did you win a championship? Art Monk, yes. Championship, Hall of Famer. Gary Clark, championship. Sanders, championship. All of these guys that are currently occupying those slots in terms of best wide receivers in franchise history, you can go back to Charlie Taylor, like all these guys, right? You can go back, all won a bunch of championships. This is the first time in a long-ass time that a really, really good player now has the opportunity to cement himself as legitimately one of the greats in the franchise's history because the franchise is finally now having success. And that was not asked about Terry yesterday. That was not asked really about with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. But I have to think in some capacity or another, that did factor into the conversation or to the mental thought process for Terry. I have been here for forever. I would like to be here for forever. Just generally on a human level, moving sucks. It's a lot easier for professional athletes because they have more resources than us normal people. But moving still sucks. And then now I have an opportunity. If you're really chasing greatness, like if you're just doing this for the money, you are going to go where the money calls you. With all due respect to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is in it for the bag. He literally just goes where the money is calling him. It's not necessarily about exclusively chasing greatness. Now, you can do both. It's possible.
But if you're going to offer it to me.
Yeah, I don't blame Kirk Cousins. Like, that man has made nearly $500 million, despite the fact that he's like a relatively average quarterback. Sorry, Kevin.
Mid of mid.
But Terry has now an opportunity to make really good money, but also cement a legacy here in a football town that will sustain him for the rest of his life. If you win a championship in D.C. and you are a critical part of the team, and on top of that, it has been this massive drought, you are good for life here in the DMV.
Made
restaurants
forever.
Are going to work. Media availabilities. Eastern Motors will always have you on. You'll be doing Paisano's ads. You'll be doing local BetMGM ads for the National Harbor. Like, you'll be doing all these ads. You will always have an avenue to make money here in D.C. I'm really happy for Terry in that regard, and I'm really excited to see whatever this length of contract actually ends up being for him, if he can continue to level up the game and then ultimately get himself into the caliber of not just Ring of Fame, but legitimately in that conversation with your Art Monks as being one of the greatest wide receivers to ever play here. I'm Denton Day. I'm sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. Dan Quinn at the podium from Ashburn next on The Kevin Sheehan Show.